Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You listen once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive. And today we are waiting for our co-host, our dear brother and dear friend, Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam from Selma, Alabama. And soon as he arrives, we will give way to the mic to allow him to come to the mic, and he will be able to take us into the next phase of this program. Dear beloved people, we are honored and privileged today to have another day in the month of Ramadan. Ramadan is a time of purification, time for us to get in touch with our nature, time for us to go where back to where God wants for us. God wants for the human being to be a dynamic, responsible being for the human being. For the human situation, God has wanted us to master our situation, wanted us to master our animal passions, to master our mental capacity, to master our thought processes, to master our passions. God wants us to master that which He has given us. He wants us to master our emotions, to master our spirit, and to give that spirit, to give that will over to His plan. He gives us a choice. But He says that all five institutions, four of them, are for you. The institution of Shahada chain is not for God. It's for man. It benefits man to know who God is. It benefits man to know that he's not God. It benefits man to know that he has the devotional practices. Five times a day he has five senses. So God has given him five senses to master. And so he gives him five salats, tells him how to build his civilization, how his civilization rises, how it declines, and how it falls. And so those reminders are for man's sake, for the development of man, not for God. Then God instructs man to purify the material world. This is not for God's sake. This is for man's sake. But God says He instructs man that fasting is for God. How are we to understand that? All God asks us to do is to give our will to Him. That's for Him. We have a choice. We have a choice to give our will to God, or we don't have to give our will to God. But there are consequences to us not giving our will to God. And so, He said He rewards Himself. So the fasting really is not the denial of food until we get, we can reach our guest. I'm going to put on a tape.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. As-salamu alaykum. That is peace be unto you. Welcome to the Sunday edition of Religion Means Alive. We are happy to be here today. We are very excited about the progress that we're making, the efforts that we're putting forth. And we believe the fruits of our achievements is forthcoming. I want to just remind you that you can send contributions to the program to Alfred Muhammad at 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, zip code 07036. You can send your contributions to the program to Alfred Muhammad at 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, zip code 07036. So we're happy to be here today. I hope that everybody is also equally excited in anticipation of God's grace and his mercy upon us. I'm going to speak with you for a few moments, and then we're going to bring on the host of the program, Imam Alfred Muhammad, who will take us further into the preparations and the plans to establish a wholesome cultural life. So this is the theme of our program today, culture and establishing a wholesome cultural life. We first praise Allah who created the heavens and the earth. And he created the heavens and the earth for a reason and with a purpose. We are happy also to proclaim God's favor upon us as a people. We were people who were taken from our native lands, packed onto ships and sold into slavery by a cruel and wicked slave master. And we endured this slavery, this suffering, this spiritual death for over 400 years. And we want to say to our listening audience, regardless of your faith tradition, that God is favoring the people who underwent this experience. And now that that experience is behind us, God has chosen us to build a new community in the very same place of our enslavement and our suffering. This is our divine destiny from which we as a people will benefit, the American people will benefit, and the common people all over the world will benefit from this new community that is emerging from the very system that enslaved us. And you know, our beautiful brother, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he said that unjust suffering is redemptive. We are being redeemed today by the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, God the Almighty. God the Almighty is coming to our aid, aiding us and assisting us in building a new community right here in the United States of America. We are speaking for people of color in North America, people of color in Central and South America, all of whom were victims of the cruel and inhumane treatment perpetrated against us by wicked folk who never intended our liberation or our success. And they didn't believe that God would answer our call, and they never believed that God would hear our cry. But today, God is answering our call, and he is hearing our cries. Now we are as a stone being hewn out of a mountain without hands. God is calling us, and we are positioning ourselves. We are moving out in place, and we are beginning the process of building the community. The process has already begun, and all we need is the help and the support of those through whom God's favor is upon you. You must also hear that call and answer that call by rendering your support to this building of a new community. The mighty hand of God is strengthening us and has equipped us with the tools for not only building the community, but for advancing human civilization towards its final destiny. The slavery, the suffering, the death was overwhelming, and the grace and mercy and blessing of God is also overwhelming. But God never does he put on anyone a burden that they cannot bear. This new community that is emerging here in North America, Central and South America, will be established upon the foundations set by Imam W.D. Muhammad, a true leader and the reviver of Islam in America and throughout the world. Many perhaps may not have heard of Imam W.D. Muhammad, but it's impossible for his name to not be mentioned, especially in the process of building this new community. You're going to learn and you're going to hear more and more of Imam W.D. Muhammad and his great works here in the United States of America for 33 years. This new community will be established upon freedom, justice, and equality. But to establish a community upon these lofty and precious ideals, we must establish cultural education that will inform and will inspire the young and the old, the rich and the poor, the male and the female, the black and the white. All must receive a cultural education. So we're talking about cultural life as an ingredient or an element that is necessary for the building of our new community. Our new community that we're building will have schools. And these schools that we build in America will teach morals and manners and will not separate education from morals and manners. The two must go together. So these schools will teach morals and manners and the pursuit of virtue. And these lessons of virtue, lessons of morals and manners will be given to the young as early as possible. Our school system will no longer be at odds with parents across America who attempt to exemplify morals and instill social and cultural values in their children, only to have those cultural values that the parents instill dashed and set aside by a wayward and willful cultural experience that our children undergo in the public school system. The new community that we are building will support marriage as between a man and a woman only and exclusively. And we will support marriage between a man and a woman because this is the order of God. This is the order that God established for the human community. And this was known before there was an Old Testament, before there was a New Testament, and before there was a Quran. The ancient man respected the values and the structure of human society to embrace marriage between a man and a woman. So we who are a part of this radio program, Religion Means Alive, we pledge to this listening audience and to the American people that we will not violate that which God, our creator and sustainer, has ordained for the human family. If you want an alternative to the immorality and indecency that is flagrant in the American society, support Imam Alfred Muhammad and his helpers and those who are doing the great works of building this community and reviving our cultural sensibilities. This is critical, and this is essential. Now, you might say, but this is a big job, building a community. You know, how many people do you have working with you in this process? And we say again that God never places a burden or responsibility on anyone greater than that which they can bear. But to complete the work of building the community, and this is the phase that we are in this day and time, it cannot be done by two people or a handful of people. It must be done by everyone who has a vested interest in saving themselves and saving their children and saving their families and saving future generations, that we might be prosperous here in this part of the world, throughout Central and South America, that we might be prosperous as a new and growing community. This new community in America will never come into fruition until and unless we commit ourselves to the honorable works of contributing whatever we can to this effort. And so we remind you, dear brothers and sisters, as this is a developing and exciting day in which we live, to give your support, be it financial, be it intellectual, be it just honest, good, sound advice. Write Imam Alfred Muhammad at 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, zip code 07036. Send contributions to this effort by sending it to Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, zip code 07036. Dear listening audience and dear American people, to ensure that our children are healthy and strong as we prepare for a prosperous life for the future generations, and that our community grows strong and each succeeding generation grows stronger and stronger, we will discourage eating junk foods and poisoning soft drinks that are literally killing us off and killing off our future generations. We will stand guard against this so that not only will our children have healthy morals and ethics, but they will also have healthy bodies and minds, and they will not be poisoned by the foods, drinks that is offered to us in the society that are designed to make us sick and to kill us off as a people. We're not going to fall for this nonsense. We will imbue in our children a love for the land that Allah, our Creator, have made, from which we will be able to feed, clothe, and shelter ourselves. Feeding clothing and sheltering ourselves and educating ourselves is merely the bare minimum requirements for building a new community. But these are the essential requirements. And the edification of feeding and clothing and sheltering and educating ourselves must be passed on through the culture, our cultural life that we establish. It's not something that can be taught in an instance. When we talk about educating through the cultural life, this means that this is a process that is ongoing. From the time that we enter preschool to the time that we become mature adults, ready to serve and ready to undertake our responsibility, the responsibilities that God, our Creator, has ordained for us. So we want to show the world how sweet life can be when we live upon the order of God, that we can have a world or a society or a community living in freedom, living with justice, living in equality, living in peace, supporting those in need. In fact, true worship of God is not dependent upon mere song and dance, but how we revere the social order that God has established for us and for our prosperity. It will be part of our cultural practice to inculcate the high moral and ethical virtues of sharing and giving in our society. The culture that we live in have made us stingy, have made us self-centered, have made us narcissistic, only caring about ourselves and not caring about those in need. And this cuts across Islamic ethics, Christian ethics, and Jewish ethics, and the ethics of all religion. All religions teach giving and sharing and taking care of the poor. We shall teach the sharing of wealth and resources, which will care for the poor and the weak in our schools and in our houses of worship and in all of our institutions and through the cultural life that we're developing. And this will enable us to take care of the poor and the weak. No community can survive unless it has the capacity to care for the poor, the weak, the hungry, the infirm. And as Jesus said, the least of these. For what we do for the least of these, we do unto one another. Systems for the distribution of our wealth and resources will grow out of our cultural life. The cultural life will call into existence the systems necessary to distribute wealth and resources to those that do not have. You know, this spirit of capitalism that exists in the culture today is geared for only the individual. There's selfish motives behind raw capitalism. Our new community will be set upon a totally different paradigm, a paradigm of love, sensitivity, and consideration for the weak and the poor. And the wealth and resources will be distributed with respect to those in need. And we will teach our children from young children to care for those in need. This is part of our responsibility. And as people who have undergone for over 400 years the cruel institution of slavery that was the law of the land here in the United States of America and throughout the North and South American diaspora. God has favored us to deliver the message of freedom. And who is better able and better capable of delivering that message than those who suffered and were denied freedom, were denied justice, and were denied equality under the law? Who is better than one who have suffered in the cruelest ways to champion the cause of dignity, to champion the cause of respect, to raise the status of the common human being in the world? This is what our leader has taught us, Imam W.D. Muhammad. And you are going to hear from the students of Imam Muhammad, as you know, or you might know. And if you don't know, Imam Muhammad has passed away, but his students are here, and his legacy will continue through the students and through the followers of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and the mark that he left, positive mark, in the American society and in societies throughout the world. So we are building a new community without anyone's permission, because we have the approval and the divine favor of God, our creator, our cherisher and sustainer. So allow us to come into your homes. Allow us to come into your churches. Don't be scared. Allow us to come into your mosques and your synagogues, your houses of worship, your temples, to hear more about the plans for building a new community right here in the same place where we were denied our freedoms and our liberties. Allow us to come right into your homes and reach out to you so we can talk about a healthy cultural life that we can set our children on a path for a glorious future. Because if we look at society and what's going on, if we look at the public school system, there's nothing but absolute despair. And so literally, we're committing suicide by sending our children into the public schools where there's no future. There's no prosperity. There's very little hope. The teachers have no hope for the future, and therefore they cannot impart hope for the future in the children. And the moral and ethical life is gone in the public school system. And without morals, without a sense of commitment to ethical and a virtuous life, there is no inspiration, because one cannot be truly inspired for the common good if they are in a corrupt environment, an environment that spurns virtuosity, morality, and high ethical behavior. So I hope that something we said makes a little sense, that we need your support, we need your concern, we want you to invite us so that we can begin doing the work collectively. This job is too big for a handful of people to do it. This job is too important for only a handful of people to have the courage. We need the common person under the sound of our voice to engender the courage necessary to support the building of this new community that myself and my brother are endeavoring. This is critical. And so we're asking for support from all people. Now, you might say, well, I'm not a Muslim. You know, can I participate if I'm not a Muslim? Well, you might say, I'm a Christian. Can I still participate? We're calling all people to the work of building this community and establishing a healthy cultural life that we can be assured that the works that we perform today will follow through in perpetuity, and future generations will be able to benefit from the works that we establish today. So we're calling all people, and in this new community, religion is going to be redefined. And it's going to be redefined as Imam W.D. Muhammad redefined what religion is. So if you are a Christian, if you are Jewish, if you are Muslim even, don't worry about anything. You are in good hands with the students of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Because even Islam is going to be redefined in the new community. And it's going to be redefined on the basis of what Imam W.D. Muhammad has taught us about Islam, because he was the reviver of the Islamic way of life, not only for African American people here in the United States of America, but for people the world over, for the Muslim world, for the Christian world, for the Jewish world, and for the world of all religious people. He is the revival of religion. And so, it doesn't matter if you say you're a Christian, if you say you're a Jew, if you say you're a Muslim, that none of that matters. But what does matter is that we respect the order that God established. You might say, well, show me where it's written that God established the order of marrying a male with a female. Show me where it's written. And I say to you, my dear brother or sister, if you need to see it written, you're not ready for the work of mature people. If you need to see it written, you're not ready for the work that we're doing in building this new community. Maybe you could sit on the sidelines and watch us work, you know, and maybe in time you'll come into an understanding. You have to, certain things you just have to know what is right. And if you don't know, it's very difficult for you to help us. We need people that know what is right and are ready, willing, and able to do what is right so that our community can come together. And the basis of our community coming together is that we can feed ourselves. This is the first point of us coming together as a community. We have to be able to feed ourselves. And in order to feed ourselves, we need land. And so we have to inspire our children and the people to love the land and love the process of producing from the land. All of this has to be taught, because our families and our children and our people in the inner cities across America are so far removed from farming and from land cultivation and development. They're so far removed that part of their soul that is akin to the land is missing, is gone. And this is a vital part of our life that have been excised from us. And so we need to retrieve that. We need to get that back. We need to get back that which is missing and that which has been taken from us. We have to learn to love the land. During slavery days, we were taught to hate the land because we were forced to perform hard tasks from sunup to sundown, and that produced a hatred in us for the land that God created, where which we can feed and clothe and shelter ourselves. So we need a re-education, and this information has to be taught not only in the schools, but in our songs, in our literature, in the books that we write, in the music, in the lyrics that we sing. We need to be re-educated and inspired through our culture so that we can reconnect ourselves to the land and love the land that God created for us, that we might be able to feed ourselves. And all of this, you know, the slave master or the former slave master believed that there was no hope for us at all, that we would never come into the light. But God revealed the book, and he said he revealed this book so that we can be led from the depths of darkness into the liberating light. And this is exactly what's happening. So let us come together in North America. Let us come together in Central and South America. Let us come together as a people. Let us organize ourselves on the natural principles of social development. And the natural principles, we're talking about love for one another. Out of love for one another, and out of the fact that we have a shared experience. These are the things that is important. And these bonds that we have and that has been established through history is enough to bring us together, is enough to give us focus, is enough to inspire a determination to do the things that we have to do as a growing community. So I say again, let us come into your homes. Let us come into your churches. Let us come into your mosques. Let us come into your synagogues, your houses of worship, your temples, to hear more about the plans for building a new community right in the heart of Western society, right here in the United States of America. And so without any further ado, I have the distinct honor and privilege and pleasure of bringing to the microphone none other than Imam Alfred Muhammad, the host of Religion Means Alive. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. That is, peace be on you. We thank Brother Imam Askia Muhammad for his wonderful remarks, his inspired remarks. Imam Askia and I were having a conversation, and he said, this work is impossible to do without being inspired. I'm so glad that the president of Mosque, President Waruddin Muhammad, has said the same thing. He said that's why he hasn't taken on the title of Imam, because he believes that you should be inspired. I believe that when you're dealing with the Word of God, you should wait for God's inspiration, and that we should choose fit leaders that is inspired. And I'd like for him to always address our audience. He's an inspired man we should pay close attention to. We've had some other inspired people. We had with us Brother Imam Yusuf Abdus Salam of Selma, Alabama, an inspired man. God inspired him. God speaks through us. We have in our religion a principle called witnessing. I prefer to use English words to an English audience. We always want the Muslim, particularly those who are studious, they should know their religion. They should know it, the Quran. They should know it in the Arabia. They should be able to read Quran. But mostly, more importantly, they should be able to translate it to their neighbors. And the Prophet warned us to be aware of religion that doesn't benefit us. So if we're talking just among ourselves, we're not benefiting anybody, it is useless. We have for our address today the address on culture. You know, I don't usually do a lot of talking about what goes on in current events, but sometimes it's quite relevant. Something in consumer affairs they call consumer fraud. So we have to mitigate, or actually litigate, as they call it in the law, in case a lawyer is listening, against fraud. That is something that represents itself to be that which is not. So when we heard terms bantered about as Muslim, we have to come to define those terms. This is not a Muslim address. This is a public address. Imam Muhammad, in the late end of the 80s and early 90s, had abandoned the use of the term ta'lim and began to address the public. Ta'lim is something you hold in your home. It's something held in circles, and I wanted to bring this to your attention. Our faith raising an address that I believe is now on YouTube, the 1992 address to the Sister Clara Muhammad, the Muhammad schools in Atlanta, Georgia. And Imam Muhammad told us that he was switching focuses. And some of us just seem to just don't want to get that. That he was building a people. And he said in that address that he didn't care whether an African-American became the president of the United States of America. That person, if he became the president of the United States of America, if you took him in a room and closed the door, he would tell you, he's a shell of a man. While you're in this room with us, first of all, we want to thank you for tuning into this broadcast, dialing into this broadcast, wherever you are accessing this broadcast. We want to thank you for that. We also want to tell your friends to download the broadcast. Show them with love how they can listen to these broadcasts. And also, we want to let the people know how much we appreciate and love them. The foundation for the Nation of Islam was love. Love of our people. That's what firstly attracted me to the Nation of Islam, was the showing of love. Everything I studied by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., was a man of love. That's the ingredient. Now, love means that it's not an emotional thing. It's partly an emotion. But it's also thought, too, because you have to learn to tolerate people that you may even find despicable, that you may not even want to deal with, that are abrasive, that are offensive. If you love them, you can tolerate them. You can deal with them. You'll be able to make progress. back to the consumer fraud that goes on in the name of Muslims. We should understand that for the past at least 600 years, if not 800 years, Islam as a religion has gone to sleep. The leaders have gone to sleep. They are asleep at the wheel. Some of them have rushed over to America. And I like to use the analogy of the President of the United States. If someone wrecks a car, you should take the keys away from them. Hey, you shouldn't let a drunk driver drive a car again. Now, what am I alluding to? I'm not going to allude to it very long. I'm not a person of hints. I'm pretty direct. I don't want to be brutally honest, because being brutal is not an Islamic concept. It's really not a Christian concept. It's not a Judaic concept. To be brutal. You got to kill an animal, you have to be merciful with him. So I'm not going to be brutally honest. But let me just say this. The Muslim world, in particular, and the world in general, should take a good close look at the ex-slaves of America who have been placed in a monster chamber, have been placed in a murderous, destructive, terrorizing environment. Imagine, if you will, an African-American co-ed going to class. Suddenly she's swooped up like an eagle will swoop up a chicken, taken and used for sexual pleasures. And the people were found not guilty. This happened in Tallahassee, Florida, no more than 50 years ago. Blatant misuse of human life. The citizens, African-American citizens of Tallahassee would have been justified if they'd gone into the courthouse and stormed it and killed the perpetrators. But they didn't do that. We have been a people that have lived under terror, and out came Frederick Douglass. Now, Frederick Douglass was not a chump. And then, you know, we don't have to go to Ron Coringa's made-up Kwanzaa that uses an East African. We're not from East Africa. I heard an ignorant Muslim from our community say that they were going to have some experts to come and speak at one of our gatherings because some of us from Kenya. He doesn't know his history. There's no African-Americans from Kenya. I was sad when I heard that poor Oprah Winfrey thought she was from the Zulus. They didn't bring any Zulus here. We're from 41 different tribes. Zulus are not among them. The Kikuyus are not among them. The Luos are not among them. We're from Bambara. We're from Pulu called Fulani. We're from Ashanti. We're from Wallop, Amaras, others. We're from those people. So we don't want any false, made-up rituals. Al-Islam is built on five. We witness, firstly, that there is only one God, and he rules over everything. But we also witness that the highest station that man can obtain is to carry the message of God. That's the second thing that we witness. Fact we witness. We witness that. That's what it takes to be a Muslim. Witnessing, it means with your eyes, with your five senses, you have reserved scientifically that there's but one creator that rules over creation. And you bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger. Now, when you bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of God, he's the end of prophecy, what are you bearing witness to? That the human being, the human life has been completed. The moral human life has been completed. We witnessed that. So that's why some of you irritate me and sicken me that you can't have a dialogue with a Christian, a Jew, or a Buddhist without you inviting into Al-Islam, trying to pressure them. If they don't witness anything, why should they join?
Whoa.
Witnessing means that you've seen with the five senses something. I told you what attracted me. I didn't join. Attracted me to the Nation of Islam was I saw love among its members. I witnessed a systemic life. And boy, let me tell you something. If the Muslim world had sold me the idea, I would not be a Muslim. I wouldn't have bought anything they said. They didn't show me nothing, period. And they still don't show me anything. And some of you, all you're doing is wasting your time trying to unify them. Let me tell you how the Muslim world will be brought together. The Muslim world will be brought together when they see, this is for Muslims, the construction of the community of Al-Islam in America led by you. Now, we were talking earlier about fraud. I had a law professor on the program, and I raised some serious questions with him. He's an imam, law professor, taught law at Syracuse University. Not a jackleg. In order his law degree by mail, he has a Juris Doctorate, followed by an LLM, ABA Law School, and taught law for, I think, 6 years. And I asked him conclusively about theft and larceny. And we also talked about neglect. Talked about theft is taking something that hasn't been properly conveyed to you. And some of you are conspiring with others to steal the orphan's rights. We are the orphan people. And the elder people that come over to this country should shut up, sit back, and come see us. But the brother imam, law scholar, legal scholar, also talked about those who commit an act of neglect. Those who run around thinking that they're teaching other Muslims. They don't go to 34 different messages around Houston. I'm just going to name them. I'm calling them out. And they know I love them. Oh, man, I love them. I love the brothers. I love them. But they were following Imam Wardeen Muhammad. They would not try to construct the Muslim world. Imam Muhammad said, why don't you unify the Muslim world? This is Imam Muhammad. Y'all can get the Ramadan set, and I'll give you the dates. Some of you just have to go ahead and trust somebody. Some of you want to footnote everything. That's a cantankerous spirit that you got from the plantation. Again, I warn you, I do have a DDS, not Doctorate of Dental Sciences, but the Doctor of Denigrification Sciences. My teacher, Dr. Wardeen Muhammad, taught me that you may be a fresh Muslim, but you're an old nigger. And we always want to believe that we all are equal. Another thing I just read in where Imam Muhammad said, Allah will show us a leader after me. God shows you to Imam Wardeen Muhammad, there will be others come on by, after him. They won't have what he has. But based on his logic, on his reasoning, on his tawil, God's going to bless somebody to pick up this responsibility and carry it on. And when you recognize it, you should accept it. You should support it. You should lift it up. And you should follow it. Otherwise, you're guilty of following niggerisms. That's what the crooked, deceptive, lying, hypocritical leaders that came on Imam Wahdi Muhammad didn't do. They are already in hellfire. Don't you put yourself in hellfire. Support fit leaders. Now, let me continue what the recommendation I asked you to follow, and that was to follow, listen to Imam Muhammad on YouTube. That's the 92 address at the Clara Muhammad and W.D. Muhammad School in Atlanta, Georgia, wherein he said, I have finished the job of Islamicizing the community. My wife heard this. She's bad witness. But now I must go on the job of restoring the psyche of African Americans. He said the African American can't even make a choice what religion he wants. Why can't he make a choice? He's insane. Now listen to this. You all slow down. We're gonna perform a niggerdectomy. It's a slow, methodical process about this constructing a culture. Oh, you talking about a nigger? I ain't no nigger. You know what one of the people said in the House of Burgess, I think in the 1500 and some? Yes, 16th century, said. He said, look, when we have finished with them, there will be no human life left, and they will be fit as a beast of the field. And God tells us that's Quran. I'm not going to quote it to you in Arabic, that he will create man in the best of all day, reduce him to the lower level. That's what they thought they did, except, and God gives you the exception, read the Quran. Study it. God tells you again how you missed it. But this is not an Islamic studies class. This is a public address. I'm addressing Ray Ray, Sheikh Bin Bubba. Now, you know, let me tell you who Sheikh Bin Bubba is. Sheikh Bin Bubba is an African-American who may know two words of Arabic, a misquote of a hadith, and all of a sudden he's a scholar. Now, he's been taught by another ignorant storekeeper that's running a former steak and tick that's now Michigan Fried Chicken. Now, he's going to, this sounds like something you have a comedy show or something that should be on Broadway. But maybe we'll make a play about it. Some of you who are writers and creative people, you should make this. You know, Imam Muhammad saying, when we need to study our community and our lives, we better do it as fiction. Because nobody would believe it. Some of the stuff that I know, if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. Some of you wouldn't have the patience to listen to it anyway. Because you probably think you know more than I do. Well, maybe you do. But let's be honest. And let's understand, continuing this theme where Imam Muhammad said, his job is to construct a people to heal our psyche. There's 48 million or more of us in America. The doors of freedom are swung wide open. We can't enter. We can't enter it. We can't even accept the fact. We still wait. Where's the message? When is the message going to come? We still contemplating Imam Muhammad. Get up and go to work. God has already given you this. We have enough right now to construct a new people, a new world, and a new civilization. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a third grade education, and he impressed a man that has attended Yale University. Law school, nothing to sneeze at. and had a master's from Harvard University. He impressed him because Amr Elijah Muhammad believed in his nature. It wasn't Mr. Farad's teachings. It was he believed in his nature because Khalid got Mr. Farad's teachings. That's his brother. Now, some of you don't know that history. And he went insane. Actually had a breakdown, a mental breakdown. There were people there who had doctorate degrees that studied Mr. Rock. They didn't get nothing out of it. There's like some of you got all kinds of degrees, and you can't get nothing out of it. You got tapes, stacks of tapes, cases of tapes, books after books, but you aren't getting anything out of Imam Muhammad because you're afraid to go and apply to your next-door neighbor. Go to the Burger King girl, the lady, and translate that message to her. Go to Keisha. Go to Ray Ray. And tell Ray Ray that God Almighty himself has constructed a new mind. You may have to tell him 10,000 times because you better tell yourself that 10,000 times. Yes. You may have to tell yourself 10,000 times that the God has chosen me. And I am glad, brother, that Brother Imam told us that we have been chosen. If you don't believe that you have been chosen, you're not going to go to work. That's what will ameliorate this. Huh? If you are still doubting, in the back of your mind, I don't care how many Muslim names you have, you still believe that the white man is God if you haven't taken any action to change the circumstance and join with others. God told us in the Quran, tells us in the Quran, that you would be at loss except you join together with others. It's not an individualistic project. You didn't come on the slave ship by yourself. You didn't go through the breaking grounds in the Caribbean by yourself. You didn't go on the plantation beaten and dragged, made you have sex with your mama.
That's right.
Made you perform homosexual acts with your brother. This happened. I'm not talking about something that is a guesswork. I am an expert in slavery with particular reference to African Americans. Particular reference to you. Have studied it to compare the system. Know it and can tell you that we were put in a psychotic factory. Imam Muhammad said it's not amazing that we're crazy. It's amazing more of us are crazy. But yet, we haven't blown anything up. We have created mass terror and hysteria. I know you said, well, you're destroying each other. That's because we have not been given the teachings of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. That's exactly what the problem is. Our people feel hopeless. Our people feel that God has not spoken to us. God talks about that in the Quran, where he says, your guardian Lord has not forsaken you, neither is he displeased. I'm not going to give it to you in Arabic. What good would it give you in Arabic? It'd get some of you drunk, you would have a strong wine, and you would think you're Willy Bobo. Oh, I'm sorry, Ibn Bobo. Oh, I mean, okay. Abu Bobo, you'll come up with something that would escape your social responsibility. And in fact, as Ralph Ellison said, the protagonist of Invisible Man, he said, somewhere along the way, I lost my social connection. Somewhere along the way, I lost my social connection. I didn't tell you where you lost it. Right there in the middle passage. They beat it out of us.
That's right.
They repressed remnants in our genes. Remnants in the culture.
That's why the President of the United States is a sign of your coming into office. His wife is a sign. She's a society. The woman is society. President Obama, no genes in his body, nothing in his memory. It's connected to slavery.
That's right.
America couldn't tolerate it. Couldn't tolerate an ex-slave. But God is using him to prepare a way for you. And to condition your mind. Why did we let half original Columbus discover the fourth part of the planet Earth? Prepare the way for me. Prepare the way for Bubba. Bubba's getting ready to come up on the global stage. But Bubba can't even own the Apollo. We got to bust Bubba's bubble and let Bubba know that he's still a mental slave with his Briani loan, his MBAs from Harvard, his PhD from Harvard, his deep field from Oxford. Until the majority of our people feel comfortable within their souls, we are slaves. You can take a man out of the alcohol, out of the bar. This is people, addictologists know that. And they say he'll pick up another addiction. He may not be drinking alcohol. He may not be smoking crack. But unless he has adjusted to what is causing the fall in that trap, he'll go right back to another. So we heard an inspirational message. We need to be inspired by God. We can't get this on our own. We can't get this just by listening to Imam Muhammad. Oh, you said that? No, you need inspired teachers of Imam Muhammad. Imam Muhammad said that some of you are inspired. Some of you are not inspired. This is facts. Constructing a culture. We're not a race. That's an ignorant chap book to be written by Cornel West, Professor Dr. Cornel West. My brother, I love him. He dearly got a warm heart. Good brother. He was wrong. That's what my good friend, the friend of Langston Hughes. I mean, Langston, good friend of his name, Albert Murray. Yes, Albert Murray. Albert Murray says, I was asked him to marry. And he insisted that I call him Albert Murray. I want to call him Professor Murray, Mr. Murray. He said, look, he said, you preachers, when you got a pork chop in your mouth or a bean pie in your hand, you'll always ingratiate yourself. Just call me Murray. So but let me just say this. He said to me, he said, how can you have a book called Race Math? Race is a false concept. So we know Professor West doesn't understand anything. Race matters. Race is false. The liars and thieves in Western social science created race. We are ethnic groups. We are cultural life. That's what we're here. We're here to create culture. Because there are African Americans that range from lighter than Adam Clayton Powell all the way to black is a boot. So we are not a color. We can never be a color. We are culture. We are Joseph's coat of many many colors. Now, so we need to understand this. We need to understand you all who are thinkers to create a dance, the Joseph dance, not the Jesus walk. That what you call or what the young man did, Kanye West. Isn't that it? They give you a Kanye, like sound like cognac. Then they give you a Cornel West, like a cornball. And you sit and lap it up like a lap dog. But fight the schemes of Satan. See, this is not an academic project. This is religion means a mind. I told you, I didn't come up with this idea. Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad came up with it. All I am is a nurse's aide to give the patient the medicine with the best ability so I won't suffer from malpractice charges. I'm careful. I don't want to be charged with malpractice. I don't want to be like the people, you go in a hospital and the doctor's operating on a man that came in with a toenail ache. He's performing surgery on him, perhaps a lobotomy on him. The man's brain is functioning. And then he overlooks the man that had a gunshot wound. His leg is blown off. Well, can I analogize and see if we go to Houston, Texas, and in the ninth ward, that there are more people with gunshot wounds, literally gunshot wounds, unfortunately. 19,000 people in Chicago been wounded, 500 deaths. Houston, Texas, high rates of AIDS. Now, Texas Southern College inundated with hip-hop. The students can tell you more about Rick Ross than they can tell you about Elaine Locke. Probably they go on Elaine Locke, they may talk about picking a lock, but they wouldn't know who Elaine Locke is. The great cultural studies scholar that labored to bring to our people cultural enlightenment. How in the hell can an imam that follow Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, 34 of them, go to immigrant masjid? I'm going to tell you what Imam Muhammad said. I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you. I know some of y'all don't like it. Y'all love white folks, so y'all get mad with me. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to hurt your feelings. I'm going to repeat what Imam Muhammad said. He said the immigrant Muslim, repeat, is the snake in the garden. Now, some of you all, you are selective about what Imam Muhammad said. You don't like that. If an immigrant Muslim is in America, he should be supporting and following us.
That's right.
I don't talk to them as though they are the authority. I talk to them as though they are under the authority. They are under our authority. And if they were decent people, they would be coming to us and saying, what direction in America? No, they're here to take over. They're brought here by our old age-old enemy to defuse us, to confuse us.
Right.
Knowing that we are the spook who don't even step by the door, the spook who sit in the basement. The spook who sat by the door, he's trying to get in. The spook is in the basement, he wants to go down further. Now let me explain to you what a spook is. A spook is a being that doesn't have its own form. Isn't that the African-American? Huh? Tomorrow morning you walk in the house, he may be an American Indian. At 12 o'clock evening, he's an Italian gangster. We even have one of the African-American rappers. He changed his name to Irv Gotti after convicted murderer and monster. Intelligent African-American trying to follow the Godfather, Scarface, and all other kinds of degenerates. They won't follow Leonardo da Vinci or one of those people. Raphael, they're going to follow the most degenerate of Italian people. Now, I would be less than a human being if I were to fail to address you. I'm not here to make no deals downtown with white folks or Arabs or anybody else. You all should read in the Village Voice an article on Reverend Calvin Otis Butts. Just bring that to your attention. White folks want to create, repeat, read the article on Reverend Calvin Butts. You can Google it in the Village Voice. See, white folks want to create preachers that they can broker and are broken. But God has blessed us. We're growing in support. People are beginning to support this ministry. For what purpose? We're not here trying to convert people to Islam. We're here to present choices to them, to Imam Muhammad is about. We want to make Christians better Christians, Muslims better Muslims. And most of all, and first of all, we're here to uplift African-American people, not everybody. You tell me that you want to save everybody and your children at home hungry, they will lock you up for child neglect. You'll go to jail. You're going to save the world. No. Imam Muhammad, when he left the organization called ASM, said, I will devote my time to the proper presentation of Al-Islam and work on the descendants of slaves. Yes, that's our focus. Again, so you all don't know I'm playing games with you. You won't believe me. Go listen to 1992, addressed by Imam Muhammad at Atlanta, at the Atlanta schools, and you'll see where he put the focus at. Our religion, the religion of Al-Islam, that is, for those of us who follow that religion, is given a picture of what is called ritual of fasting. And after fasting during the day, we reconnect. And the same terminology is used in Mecca when you're at the Hajj, the connection is, again, to reconnect. And God says in the Holy Book that also what the whole purpose of making these differences, so you can reconnect. Man started off as one. He's dispersed throughout the land. He made him the environment mix up. We've been made and formed by slavery. For what purpose were we formed and made by slavery? To make us the best slave and servant of God. That's the whole purpose of it. And some. So whatever rituals we have, those rituals should be connected to what God's destiny is for us. God's destiny for us is to serve humanity. Let me tell you something. You know how you serve humanity best right now? Build African-American communities. When you build community life for African-American people, people will come from the South, they'll come to you and answer, well, by George, there, Brother Imam Askia, I'd love for you to, would you run for the governor of this state? What they saw in your state, that you had the state of mind to clean your neighborhoods up. We're looking for the government to come up with a gun control bill. What we need is a Negro control bill. And guess what? I'm already working on it. Oh, Brother Man, what do you mean you're working on it? It's the same project that Nabi Elijah Muhammad picked up 80 years ago, the resurrection of the dead. Once a man is alive, he won't kill himself. Once a man is alive, he's going to build a family. Once a man is alive, he's going to get together with other men and educate his own children, other women, and educate their own children. Once a man is alive, he is going to build cultural institutions. Once a man is alive, he won't allow the Apollo Theater to be in the hands of another people. He will work. He will come among himself, you African-American Muslims. The Imam said you should get together with Jesse Jackson. He said you should get together with Reverend Jesse Jackson. You should get together with Percy Sutton. Tell him, we want the Apollo back. Be prepared to buy it. We have 48 million of us probably here. We have $1.1 trillion among us. And our crusade, our campaign, yes. So, dear beloved people, we have to understand that part and parcel of constructing a culture is not to go to East Africa. I'm still on the subject of building cultural life. We look to our experience. We didn't celebrate. There was never any occasion where African-American celebrated getting a harvest. We're too mad. We're too bitter. We had no first fruit. That's Ron Karinga's imagination. But you can't have someone's imagination. It's the better minds have to come together. We can't come up with some arbitrary, capricious concept. Imam Muhammad said we need a calendar among us. A calendar? What calendar? We got to wait for Black History Month to celebrate the things that are needed in a culture? We must have in our cultural life what Nat Turner had, courage. And that should be ensconced in a ritual. Booker D. Washington walked from Harpers Ferry, West Virginia, should be ensconced in a ritual. We should set aside a day to celebrate Booker D. Washington so it will be ensconced in our experience so our children can have it. There will be a dance. There will be music. There will be poetry. The award for the best novel, the best play. Just like the Irish people have their day, we need to have a day to celebrate all these major figures. Imam Muhammad has been the biggest pusher of Juneteenth. You African-American Muslims who are sincere and honest should join us. You should be signing up. You should write me, imamalfred@gmail.com. Brother Imam, I'm ready to serve on a committee. Stop this cantankerous, argumentative, challenging spirit that we have. Accept fit leaders and go to work. Leaders, judge your leaders the way, on the standard of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He was a general. He knew he had to build an educational system. He knew he had to build an economic system. He knew he had to build a cultural system. His cultural system, while we were focusing, was a cultural system based on love, respect, the whole ritual of searching a brother when he came in the mosque, or a sister when she came in the mosque, was to create accountability. It was to create a connection, a security system, where we put an emphasis on security and trust. And love. And before we gave up popular, took on popular culture and followed the Nation of Islam culture, it was the most loving, supportive group. If one was in trouble, all of us was in trouble. All the gangs did was steal that. Of course, they had nothing but lies. They don't show any love and solidarity to each other. The OG is the one to rip off the other young kids who just want to be a part of. Let's bust all this foolishness up. Let's get a commitment. Let's appoint leaders from among us, qualified leaders from among us. And let's build a strong, powerful cultural life among our people. That's what we have to do. Now we have to understand something. There's a convention coming up. Why do I want to bring that convention up? I just wanted to bring that up because President Warren Dean Muhammad put the convention. Excuse me just a minute. I want to find it. Following the excellence, best the excellence of our people. That's what it, that's the convention theme. So we want to follow the best. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad knew in creating that cultural expression that he had to find and he called for refinement. Refinement. That's what Sadie Hawkins Brown did. She opened up Palmer's Memorial Institute for the purpose of creating refinement. Huh? Our women uncouth, our men walking uncouth. Learn from the Nation of Islam. We were told to speak softly to each other. Yes, my brother. No, my sister. Huh? One brother said he almost had a heart attack. He said he knew something was wrong. When he came into a Muslim establishment and they were telling another black man, another African-American man, yes, sir, no, sir. He was looking to, where's the white man at? This is truth. This is not a nonsense. He said he wondered, what could this be? There was something had to be. Another African-American calling another African-American, sir. We have to bring that back. We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We keep that in the environment. We bring that back. Somebody, I think we have somebody. You put your phone on mute because I'm sound like I'm repeating myself. And, you know, slavery has driven me near insane, so I don't want their voices. But dear beloved people, we can never give up good, clean, sound principles. And then we have to have within the culture, George Washington, he has to be ensconced in the culture. But he said each person was like another plant. We respect the sacredness of the individual. This has to be ensconced. We've never been established as a culture. The Irish has cultural symbolism that speaks to the Irish. The Italians have symbols. Speak to the Italians. The Igbo has tradition. The kola nut, I'm very familiar with Igbo people. That gives him sacred messages. And we had with Imam Warren Dean Muhammad an important driving force. I would say it's probably as important as this impartation of the religion, us to build the proper culture and the psychological healing. Because I'm convinced until we do that, this is me. We're not going to be able to get to Imam W.D. Muhammad. But if we create the environment, cultural environment, in the generation, in time, we'll be the greatest people on the face of the earth. We already are making a down payment at greatness. If you and I were to follow this process, what I'm suggesting to you, constructing a cultural life, that's why we're going to have a huge celebration last Sunday in the month in June in Newark, New Jersey, Newark. Hopefully we'll have a new covenant. This didn't come up with Tavis Smiley. Now Muhammad, 1997, said the African-American Muslims had picked up that covenant. We're going to pick that covenant up, and we're going to pick up Dr. Benjamin Elijah Maine. He said the man behind has always run fast to the man in front, or otherwise he will forever be behind. We want those slogans, those statements of Dr. Mays be impartated into our souls, into our minds, into our spirit. Mr. Rick Ross, Mr. Jeffin, you'll have to go back and become a correctional officer somewhere, huh? Mr. McKnight, I believe his name is. Go call Little Wayne, the Wayne McKnight. Let him get some light. Huh? Mr. Jackson. Go call 50 Cent. I see he's worth a quarter. But anyway, he's worth a lot more than what he's worth by $100 million. But he's sold crack to our people. Told our young people, get rich or die trying. Meanwhile, he's living up in Guilford, Connecticut. Only thing he's worried about is a squirrel attacking him or something. They feed our people the poison and the Satan invites them to urinate in our brain. All as long as they can get a few thousand dollars.
But what about you, Muslim?
You sit back, you criticize, beat up on everybody else. Are you part of any organized effort? Huh? Will you join with Imam Alfred? If you don't like Imam Alfred, because he's short and wear glasses, and you got a pudgy stomach, you'll make that kind of excuse, so I know you'll come up with any kind of excuse. That's part of niggerism. Make any excuse. I don't have to go to Willie Lynch to find it out. Need a made-up story. This is a psychosis that came from slavery that causes us always to be hyper-sensitive. Anything good comes out of us. Hypersensitive. Message to the black man. I'm like mama told you. That you know, stop criticizing everything that's black. Turn down the criticism. Because the criticism becomes like a termite. Eats up everything. Settle down, as I'm like mama said, for a good choice. I don't go second guessing the President of the United States. I don't. I mean, I got circumstances. I have my own private thoughts. Keep them to myself. And that's what you should do with leaders. If the President is sincere and good, support them. Like Imam Muhammad told a group of leaders in Philadelphia in a private meeting, he said, if you can agree with 60% of what the President says, support that person. As long as I know you got good intent and you want to lead us to where we need to go, I can put up with the rest. It's constant in your cultural DNA. Put it in you. Put it in your children. Tell your children this. Look, if we leave the older boy in charge, the daughter in charge, support what she's doing. If she wants to make pancakes, fine. She wants to make cornflakes, fine. Cornbread, fine. Support that. We are people who have been geared to be hypercritical of each other. Always looking like a goat to find something to beat another one down. See, that's the picture of our devotional practice. If the leader makes a mistake in leading the devotional practice calls to that, you tell him, God, glory to God. I'm giving this. I don't give a whole lot of Arabic terminology to a public. And even selectively to Muslims. That's why I'm sure that they understand it. Some are so much in hatred to English, so much in hatred with the church, they don't use no terminology that they use. So we hide up on a cliff somewhere and neglect to be able to translate it. We forget the neighborly needs. Neighborly needs tell me that I want to give the message out to my public. Your first public is your family. They don't know Arabic. People in your neighborhood don't know Arabic, and you don't either. Now let's be real. And build the kind of life that will have us work on what Dr. Thurman called dispossessed. That we are working, that we have a message. And it's all we got that here, we got that there. Oh, let's celebrate that. I picked seven teachers, thinkers among us, religious thinkers. People were inspired by God. They saw that work as the work of doing God's work. Dr. Mays saw it work as the work of God. Booker D. Washington saw it work as the work of God. George Washington Carver saw it as the work of God. Certainly the Honorable Elijah Muhammad saw his work as God. So let us look. Look at Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I don't care whether you're a drunk. I don't care whether you're a drug addict. I don't care whether you're hopeless. You can have an Honorable Elijah Muhammad experience. And I don't care whether you're not working, don't have a job, whatever it is. If you study the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I ain't saying you have to be a Muslim. You can study him. And you will be able to be a world figure. How do we know that? He took a man that was a graduate of Norfolk State Prison, not Norfolk State College, Norfolk State Prison, I believe it was. Maybe Walpole, whatever prison in Massachusetts. Eighth grade dropout. And send him to Oxford University. And he confounded the wise. That was a student in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad School. Now, Leron Bennett and all the other lying historians would tell you it was Malcolm. James Corn, shut up. You're a liar. You know better. You're disingenuous. We put Minister Malcolm under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad station. But a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Huh? We took a boxer with a big mouth and made him an icon of the world. Isn't that right? That's a fact. Any boxers gone and fat to dementia. Unless you're in the boxing history, we never know about Muhammad Ali has become legendary. That's why I support his ex-wife, Khalil Ali, who's telling the proper story. I'm going to be with her Friday. We're going to be broadcasting live on the Tribeca Film Festival. See, we're not Muslims. African Americans will hide in a back door somewhere, back in the alley, like ducking and hiding, I think Little Richard put it. No, slipping and sliding. No, we're going to be out on Front Street. That's what we need to do. That's when you get the message of Minister Malcolm. One thing he did not do, he did not hide the message of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I mean, you want to take the Minister Malcolm for the last year, which was his weakest year on the earth, and make that the biggest point of Minister Malcolm. You know why you want to do that? Because you want to escape responsibility. And your open enemy promotes him in that regard, so they're telling you to train one of your own. Put a knife in your own back. So Minister Malcolm is a cautionary tale of a life of redemption. Once God has made a man from fat, mud. Honorable Elijah Muhammad was made from mud. Working at the Ford Motor Company up from Georgia. Beaten down, witnessed a lynching. Came to Georgia. Came from Georgia, rather. Came to Detroit, I mean. Was a drunk. After he lost his job. You all listen. Some of you lose your job, you end up in the shelter too. But he had a third grade education. But a lady by the name of Lulabelle. She should be put into history. We should call our moment a Lulabelle moment. Lulabelle went to Clara Evans. and said, Clara, there's a man in town, chicken name. And one Friday night in Detroit, Michigan, in Black Bottom, Mr. Elijah Fool met Mr. Farad, Javier Farad. And he didn't play games like some of you play games. He said to him, when his conscience hit him, that you have to be, you're the man it was written about. I don't want to go into the theology. I don't want to confuse people. But he believed in the message. And he took the message, risked losing his life, even losing his friendship with his brother. Are you prepared to do that? You need to have an honorable Elijah Muhammad moment. That's what we need to tell our young people. And once he believed in his teaching so strongly that he was willing to go to jail for it. Now, he didn't go to jail for stealing. He didn't stick anybody up. He didn't sell narcotics. Didn't kill anybody. Didn't rape any women. And some of you African-American so-called Muslims call, I'm in the city. And you in jail, man. That's the pedagogy of the press. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in coming out of jail, Maryland Federal Correctional Institution, said, I got to go and do something for self. He wasn't satisfied to sit with the lesson. He wasn't satisfied to hide the teachings of his teacher. He said, I got to show something. And right away, even though he didn't know how to open up a grocery store, even though he didn't know how to do a farm, he read books. We should have a ceremony in our rituals. For an African-American, you hide the knowledge in a book. And an African-American like the Honorable Muhammad snatches it out of the book. He learned how to cut meat. He opened up a pharmacy. He started developing business life for our people. I got to show something. That's what you Muslims and who follow Imam Muhammad, you need to show something. Stop talking and show and develop. Community life. Show that the word of God is coming to you. You need an Honorable Elijah Muhammad moment. All right, we got another one for you. Coming on home. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. On the strong, powerful father. Even Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s father had to raise mules. I don't think he even graduated from high school till he's around 25 years old. Martin Luther King Sr. is a powerful lesson. Illiterate practically, from mule raisers. And he decided he had to go to Morehouse. He had to get to Morehouse. He didn't care, like some of you, laying in the house 35 years old without a high school diploma. You got to see you got to have a Martin Luther King experience. You got to have, I wanted to miss one. How did you, Woodson? Worked in a mine. See, the African-American history is so rich, so prophetic. If someone probably here may have a phone, because we're getting a kind of rebound. But anyway, you all tolerate it. Doctor. How did G. Woodson had to work his way through school? But he worked in a mine. And you know how dangerous a mine is? 8 to 10 miles, it was dangerous back in that day. He wanted an education. His motivation was to find out about his people. And from there, he went to Berea College, from Berea College to Harvard, and then he came back and formed the Association for the Study of Negro History. Beloved people, God himself has used our prophetic mission to explicate. No excuses for any human being. That's when we see that God says that he raised you up Booker T. Raise you up from George Washington College. Raise you up, Howard K. Thurman. Raise you up from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Raise you up from, for what? All the people. This is what this is about. This is what the destiny is. God is allowing all of this to happen. Us. To raise us up. Get to the next person. And Wardeen Muhammad. And see us. Hero. Of his people. Of his God. And God more than he did his people. Wanted direction from God. Wanted to make sure that he was correct with his God. And he had to even turn against his father's theology. Not against his father. You liars, you hypocrites. You go out and tell people that Imam Muhammad went against his father. No, he went against his father's conception of God. He always supported self-help. He always supported cleanliness. He always supported order. He always supported militant men standing up. He supported the women's classes. He supported all that was good in him. He could not accept his father's concept, God being a man. He rejected that. And he even did that with fool diplomacy. And he's called the inheritor of a dean. The religion, inheritors of a dean. They don't use the word dean. People don't know what that is. Dean and debt, the same word. Debt, what debt? The debt of Howard Thurman. The debt of Booker T. Washington. The debt of our unnamed ancestors. He inherited that. And he has accepted to be the man that God has made him. He, as a result, creating a new people from him. From what? From him. We're being formed into a new people. Five Imam Wardeen Muhammad, African American Methodist, fought the African American Baptist. African American Muslim, Five Imam Muhammad. We were torn in our souls. But God himself, Imam Muhammad, has brought man and society together. Man and nature together. Man and his earth together. Man and woman together. Has brought all the humanity together. Imam Wardeen Muhammad has brought Christians, Jews, Muslims, and even people who are not of a heavenly religion. Now we're going to sit around and be derelict in our duties, and we're going to let others go in interfaith services and say they represent our Islam. The Muslim leaders of Boston should be ashamed of their damn selves. I condemn them publicly on religion means a lie. That they should have been standing in Compton Square years ago, representing what Imam Muhammad was about. Standing in Harvard Square, representing what Imam Muhammad is about. They should have been standing in Dorchester. They should have been standing in mass meetings in Annabelle Street, teaching the people the message of Imam Wardeen Muhammad. It should be clear in America what Imam Muhammad's method is. It should be as clear in America as it is in Selma, Alabama. And the great leadership of Imam Yusuf Abdus Salam. As a leader that's known, millionaires, government people, Ray Ray, Bobo, all of them know what we stand for. Because they see it, they witness it, and Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. Dear beloved people, we should see that witness it in you. We should see this in you, sister. They should see Sister Claire Muhammad's reflection. How to be well. Her McCloud Bethune. Wow, Sister Claire Muhammad, they should see that in you. They should see in you. A reflection of the best tradition of our people. That's what they should see. They should see that you are a mere reflection. As one sister said, the brother says, a mere reflection of you. That's what they should see. They should see a selfish, jealous person. They should see a person who wants to compete with the Christians because if I'm a Muslim. They should see a Christian competing with a Muslim. They should see a person like Dr. King who will sit down with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's the example. That should tell us how Christian-Muslim relationships should be. We African-American Christians should be with African-American Muslims. We should say, let's clean up Dorchester. Let's clean up our church. Let's clean up Harlem. Let's clean up the South Bronx. Let's clean up Liberty City. Don't hide in the mess here. Come out. Get the business people. Serve food to the young people. And let them sing poetry. Let them read poems. Let them come out with the dance expression. Let's do a Thurman dance. Let's do a Booker T dance. Let's do an Honorable Elijah Muhammad dance. Let's do an Imam W.D. Muhammad dance. Let's have a victory dance. Let's have a dance to celebrate birth. Let's have a dance to celebrate graduating from college. Let's have a dance to celebrate and get the new trade. Let's have a dance to celebrate wedding. Let's have a dance to celebrate people mind 40, 50 years they should get a diamond medal. Let's have the hot something stock dance, huh? Let's have movies. Let's have plays. Don't tell me we can't do it. I know we can do it. God has shown these great lights among us that it can be done. God has shown through these red lights that just as Booker D. Washington built Tuskegee from the ground up, we can rebuild Howard University as a shining academic center. We can rebuild Fisk as a center. We can make Meharry the greatest medical school on earth. We can build Mohawk Medical School, expand it, open up campuses everywhere. This is the task. This is what we are here to do. We're here to show the world that God has spoken to the ex-slave. That God Almighty himself has spoken, and that the African-American accepts his responsibility. He will accept to build hospitals in the neighborhood. He will accept to take on the responsibility of nursing us. Don't tell me we can't do it. He did it with little, and we can do it with much. Don't be afraid. Have the courage. At that turn ahead. We were willing to risk death to be ensconced in our soul. We won't have to die. And let's call the clay till let's die like pigs. Slaughtered. Heard it slaughtered. No, let's die like men. God tells us, die to ignorance. Die to laziness. Die to oppression. I have to die so you may live. Don't die unless you die a death of surrendering to God. That's what it means. That's what it's saying. I know some of you want to hear me say, ooh, you can get the Holy Ghost. And guess what? You'll get the Muslim Holy Ghost, and guess where you'll go? You'll run to another mosque and make another. We were running a vagrant out of a neighborhood, and a young brother gave us a report. He said, I said, what did the clergy say? Oh, not the clergy. Muslims don't have clergy. Yes, we do. They have people pretend to be religious. They ain't nothing clergy. I don't care. Imam Hoopenhauer. Anyway, when he went to give a report that we were picketing this urban terrorist, he said, they said, alhamdulillah. And guess what? And not one of them showed up the next day. They said, isn't it dangerous out there? I said, you could die just drink a glass of water. I'd rather die standing for truth. But you know Frederick Douglass could have died when he knocked out that slave master and ran to the north? What is your slave master? Who are you going to knock out? Not, I'm not talking no physical slave. Some of us are slaves to food. Some of us are slaves to drugs. Some of us are slaves to a lot of things. Let's have a Frederick Douglass moment. If our people were in, it was ensconced in our people's minds, Booker T. Washington is. You don't have to have 18 volumes on Booker T. Washington. Enough to know that he walked about 800 miles from Harpersburg, West Virginia, to Hampton. That he got down and he cleaned the floor in order to be admitted. Imagine this. He got on his knees, cleaned the floor. And he knew that in all this was him, this was between him and the abyss. He had to go back, walk barefooted back to Harpersburg, West Virginia. So shouldn't this inspire our young people that God was speaking to them? And speaking to us through Booker T. Washington, General Armstrong came in the room. He used a handkerchief. He couldn't even find dust on the floor. And yet our young people have toys scattered every damn way. I want you all to support our ministry so we can go to the public and address our people. We want to go on Hennebell Street. We want to go on 116th Street. We want to go on 125th Street. We want to go right at 14th and Diamond, 18th and Diamond, 19th and T. We want to go right in the heart of the neighborhood. And we want to end bumhood. You know how people accept it to be bums, walking around with a bag of pants, walking around like they drunk, walking around like their legs are broken. Let us restore. Let us make the lame walk. Yeah, you know, back there was saying, they say he's lame. Oh, let's cure the leprosy. Looks like purity. You all look like you holy come from the church to the masjid. But yet in your neighborhood, you don't even have a store. You happen to go to 7-Eleven. You happen to go to the Arabs, Pakistani, or somebody else and get your food. Yeah, that's allowed. Is it really allowed? Is it really permitted for another man to have another man feeding him? For another man to clothe him? For another man to give him a job? Is that allowed? I said that's forbidden. And then you complain about the culture. But I say to you, let us get together with our own. Let us distribute our own movie. Let us come up with what they call, the intellectuals call, a counter discursive process. Let us counteract that. God said, fight the scheme of Satan. Well, weep. Fight the scheme of Satan. For the five of us are in our lives. Take God out of our lives. We can restore that by cutting the TV off these 3 hours a day, sitting around the table. These are the simple things you can do. Eat with your children and get a report from your children. Start that. Start a culture of achievement right in your home and right in your neighborhood. Start a cultural tradition of rewarding success, a celebration in the neighborhood. Start celebrating graduation. Start celebrating purchase of business. We need a business opening celebration. A particular day. Don't let the culture come and change it. Don't let them come and say, next year we're going to get rid of that. No, the Irish still has his tradition. He still will put on his kilt. He pick it out every year. He puts his ring on every year. He won't allow you to make him a spook. He won't allow you to make him become something that he's not. I'm going to close this out. And we're going to bring on our dear sister, Sister Minister, Kalila Ali. I think that's her. Sister Kalila, I'm on fire. Don't knock out the preacher.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening to another
edition, in fact, a recorded edition of Religion Means Alive. I don't know what happened. We had lost our cell phone, and we weren't able to get in touch with Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. I'm sure he will return next week, God willing. That is God, and we say it's inshallah. I want to announce that the first Sunday in August, Imam Adib Shakir will be hosting the New Africa Family Day. This is for all people, but it's the new Africans, people that came from the Fulanis, now in Georgia, Mississippi, Virginia. All of us are going to come together and have a family day. Music, entertainment, family, faith. Beautiful occasion for us to come together. And you can send your donations to Father, Son, Men, and Boys Association. I don't know why I don't always have the post office box, but it's an affair that costs a lot of money to put off. Free food, fun, entertainment for the children is one of the most beautiful days in the history of our people. African American Christians, Muslims, and even our brothers from Africa. I believe in time this will grow to be one of the most important events in the life of our people. Our people will look forward to this. Part of our cultural celebration. Also, we are going to Chicago, God willing, on Saturday. We're speaking at 11 o'clock at the Ramadan session. Not Ramadan seminars, not Ramadan reunions, but the Ramadan session that Imam Muhammad set up. We should preserve the institutions that he set up. He set up the Ramadan session. That address is at the Mosque Cares headquarters. This is a worldwide headquarters, the Imam Muhammad's ministry, headed by Imam Warakuddin Muhammad II. Ramadan sessions, the convention, Savior's Day, New World Patriotism Day, these are events that Imam Muhammad set up. These are institutions. And we should be in support of them. Just before we go off the air, Brother Deep Shack is in the house. Just press 1 and give us the address. Otherwise, we will say to those, we thank you for your donations. We really do. We still need them. In fact, we need the money to go to Chicago. We're going on a wing and a prayer. I mean a prayer of a wing. We have to be there. Now, we live off your support, off the sale of our literature, donations, whatever resources we have. I'm dedicating the rest of my life to this work. We want to your support. So, dear beloved people, sessions is going to be in Chicago. I hope all you're getting your reservations for the convention. Please come to the convention. Please tell your friends to come to the convention. Tell your friends, tell your family to come to the convention. So with those words, we will see you tomorrow. In fact, I think we will be on the air at 1 o'clock tomorrow. We might be on tomorrow. Brother Wali Muhammad will be on with the communique. We'll be back on, God willing, at 6 o'clock again. Thank you, and God's peace be on you.